Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined with Sim Longa. And Sim, we got a big one at Mackey tomorrow night. We are recording this on Thursday the 14th, so it is a Friday night showdown at Mackey Arena. The 3-0 13 ranked Purdue Boilermakers will host the 3-0 number two ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. And Sim, we've talked about the first few games for Purdue. They've had some decent tests with some teams who we think will probably be in contention to be in the tournament come March. But this it's a whole different animal Friday night with Alabama coming to town.
Yeah, man, just similar to us, Alabama team that made the Final Four last year, they returned a good number of their players, and got some new guys, whether it's via like transfer portal or obviously some incoming freshmen. And the Boilers they're gonna have their hands full tomorrow night. There's no other way to say that. It's gonna be a tough battle, but I mean, fortunately you're at home, and just. Yeah, just we're just gonna hope for the best. I mean, it's not that bleak of a situation, of course. Obviously, we're gonna get into it, but it's definitely gonna be a challenge. Purdue's gonna have to play better in quite a few areas if they want to make sure they bring home the dub and keep that the non-con win streak alive.
Yeah, and there will be a lot of eyes on this one, and rightfully so. Probably one of, if not the most anticipated non-conference games in the country this year. I would say probably right up there with Auburn, Houston. But there will be 21 NBA teams and 23 NBA scouts in attendance. So lots of eyes on that, and you got to think at least they will be watching the matchup I think everybody's looking forward to the most. And that's going to be the battle of the point guards with Braden Smith and Mark Sears. A battle that Braden, I would say, won last year when he probably played his best game of the year last year to help the Boilermakers defeat Alabama. That game was the game where they went to Toronto and Purdue won 92-86. And Braden, we talked about it was kind of almost a coming out party, where he kind of put his name on a map that he can play with, any guard in the nation. And when you're talking about the best guards in the nation, Mark Sears is right up there at the top.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's definitely the first thing you think of as an opposing team on the scouting report. Mark Sears is the first. He's the first person you're concerned about. He's the head of the snake for them. The straw that stirs the drink. And like he said last year he played really well against us, and fortunately, Braden was able to have an answer. And I feel like tomorrow is kind of the same thing. Is whoever wins that, whatever team wins that battle at point, I feel like they're going to be in good shape to win the game.
Yeah, it'll be probably the most anticipated as far as like what's being talked about matchup, but I would argue that the bigger matchup is going to be down on the block and in the paint, because Alabama just comes at you in waves with size, and especially given the recent injury to Daniel Jacobson. And this seems like a weird thing to say for Purdue teams, but that's kind of one area where they probably one of their weakest areas, I would say, is size right now.
For Purdue?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I think so. I mean, we were talking about it. I think we talked about it a bit like last pod, and we talked about it offline, just in terms of the big, like the five spot this year. Very much so seems, especially with Jacobson being out, it very much so seems like it's going to be just a platoon system. And your expectations from that position aren't like what they've been, particularly the last couple of years, and even more so probably over the last like 10 years in terms of what you've been expecting from that spot. But I think tomorrow is definitely going to be a big opportunity for Burgess and for Berg, in terms of them being able, they don't necessarily have to be the stars of the game per se, but they cannot be people who are talking about on the backside of like, well, they were part of the reason, like their play was part of why, part of Purdue's undoing. So I think that, you know, they're certainly gonna have to rebound better than they did, you know, even last game, or they have really overall to this point. They're gonna have to rebound better. And then two, you know, just making, I guess I would say making shots around the basket, they're gonna have to, you know, with the, some of the ball screen action that we're gonna run. And obviously when you have guys like Braden, CJ, Miles, and Fletch, you know, driving to the basket, there's going to be opportunities for them to, whether it's off of rebounds or if it's just off a dribble draw, excuse me, yeah, off of dribble drives, and whether, you know, they're passing it off. And, you know, you have to make sure you go up strong. You have to make sure you finish. You know, I want them, all three of those guys need to be choosing violence when they go up on the rim. So yeah, it's definitely, I think it's going to be definitely a big talking point, I believe, for tomorrow, because I believe Alabama has six, I mean, excuse me, they have four guys who are 6'10" or taller. I think 6'10" or 6'11". And they all look like they get minutes, because I think they all, like, the think the one the person who averages the least minutes, what is it, Aiden Sherrill, averages 12 minutes a game. So everyone else actually averages more minutes a game. So they play all four of those bigs, they rotate them in and out. So I mean, it feels safe to say that you're gonna have at least one out on the court at all times. So yeah, you're definitely gonna need good quality minutes from all of your bigs.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be honest, the matchup that really scares me in this one, and if the name sounds familiar, it's because we saw him quite a lot when he played at Rutgers. But that's big man Cliff Amori. And you know, just his ability to just be available for lobs from the guards of Alabama one, because that seemed to be one, especially against Yale, where our guards really struggled to stop penetration. And then we were late on rotations, which led to some easy plays. So that's one thing that Purdue has got to try to make sure they limit, because once, you know, guys like Mark Sears get going downhill and those bigs help, I mean, it's easy money. Lobs up to Big Cliff there too, but also just on the defensive end too. I mean, he's a guy who is one of the best shot
Shot
blockers in
block,
the country.
yeah.
And just the way he can probably take TKR, you know, he can take him one-on-one. I would say so. That's gonna mean, you know, we're gonna have to find some other ways to get guys open. And so that to me is kind of gonna be one of the things that I'm gonna be really curious about. And on both ends of the floor is how do they guard and really try to eliminate lob dunks to Cliff, but also how does the offense go and try to get things going? Because to your point, we're going to need some buckets from the guys who are going to rotate at that spot. And, you know, it's not going to be easy going up against Big Cliff.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, remembering in my head just from the last few years playing against him when he was at Rutgers. And I mean, there were times where he was even kind of having his way against Edie. And then we know how great Edie was. And so if he was flourishing at times against a guy like Edie, you do start to get a little worried about, like, well, what could he do against, you know, against First, against Burgess, against Berg. You know, he's an agile big, like you were mentioning, in terms of his ability to be able to play off the ball. And you know, Rutgers would throw it up to him, and they seemingly like throw it up to the rooftops, and he would go get it and he'd throw it down. And like you said too, he's good defensively, so even if you try to get him in ball screen action, he moves really well. So again, he's definitely going to be somebody who will have an imprint on the game. Of course, you want to try to minimize that, and if you can, hopefully, like, maybe he gets into foul trouble early. If he can get him into foul trouble or somehow be able to just minimize his impact, that, like, again, I think that's another thing that just bodes well for us. Yeah, I just yeah, I mean, that just their overall size, again, like we're just talking about, it's something that's just very, very concerning, because of just seeing the way that we struggle to rebound and, you know, to close out possessions. And so I think, just kind of touching on something that Painter mentioned, not only in his presser, but also in the he had an interview before in the lead up to for tomorrow, and he talked about the importance of keeping your defender in front of you, because he was like, if we're playing from behind, so if we're also, excuse me, if we're having to help the whole game, that like we'll he said that, he was saying, and I agree, you'll get destroyed, you'll be in trouble. So it's going to be important in terms of how we're able to guard the perimeter, not allowing a guy like Sears to get loose. Because if that happens and now all of a sudden you have to help, you have to recover, that's also too what lends itself to a guy like Amori, or some or one of their other bigs, allows them to start getting going as well, because then they're getting dunks and getting and they're building their confidence as well. So yeah, defensively, I just feel like that's where this game, at least for us, I feel like that's where it's the, the attention to details, guarding your man, keeping your man in front of you, rebounding, boxing out. Those are all going to be the things that, and obviously taking care of the basketball, those are going to be the things that kind of determine how this goes. I mean, Mackey's going to be fucking rocking tomorrow night. I mean, I'm kind of getting goosebumps just thinking about it. But there's only so much that all the, all the crowd can do if we're not, if the players themselves, if they're not keyed in the right way.
And you are right about Mackie. It's going to be an insane environment. One little tidbit about it I thought was really interesting as I was looking up some things for this game, but this will be with the Alabama coming to Mackey will be the highest ranked non-conference team to play in Mackey since the very first game ever, all the way back in 1967 when number one UCLA came to Mackey. So just thought that was kind of interesting, that they will be the highest ranked team, highest ranked non-conference team to come play since UCLA did in the very first game back in 1967.
Crazy.
But anyways, to kind of get back into it, I think one thing that's going to be really interesting is it's going to be almost, I feel like, a cat and mouse game, because I feel like, and we talked about this a little bit on the last podcast, but I feel like Purdue really found something with their smaller lineup when they used TKR at the five and played both Miles and Cam at the three and four, and Cam was more so at the four and Miles at the three, and it seemed to really kind of work both on the offensive end and even on the defensive end to a certain extent. Painter, specifically called out Cam and said, he had a couple really big rebounds. So to me, I think that's going to be super interesting to see if Purdue tries to go with a smaller lineup to combat the size against Alabama. And it's kind of funny to think about, because for so many years, we have been the team that has the size, and we've seen teams try to go small against us to combat all that size. And now the roles are kind of reversed almost. And I really think that's kind of going to be one of the most interesting things about this game, is if Purdue goes small, can they rebound enough to, have success with a smaller lineup out there.
Yeah, I honestly think even to a bigger level, when you're talking about the lineups, I just think the lineups in general that you see, I'm curious to see which ones. I think we've seen so many between the exhibition games and between the exhibition games and the first three games of the year. We've seen so many different lineups, and I don't have the I haven't actually like seen like the analytics in terms of how certain combinations of work. But I obviously to your point in terms of with the small lineup. Because TKR was talking about afterwards about how like he's been advocating to play the five. He enjoys playing the five. But if you're gonna have him playing the five, like he needs to do things that a five does. And so again, we go back to the point of rebounding. You're gonna have to have more than three rebounds. You're gonna have to box out. You're gonna have to be, be more physical. You have to embrace the physicality of playing at the five, especially when you're gonna be the undersized guy. And like you said, so many years it's been us who's had not only the size, but like because we'll play teams who have size. But oftentimes it's guys who don't get a lot of minutes, and we'll be the team who has guys who are 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet. They get minutes, and so they're part of the regular like rotation. So now all of a sudden we have the advantage, because even if they want to bring in a guy with size, he's, you know, he's, it's a guy who's not getting a lot of playing time. So odds are he's probably not going to be that effective, and he's probably going to pick up some fouls, which helps us in the grand scheme. You know, you get in the bonus, now you're able to hit free throws. But that's not necessarily going to be the case tomorrow. It more so looks like it's like the reverse, as you said. But just to see the different lineups and just kind of see how patient Painter is in terms of, hey, if he's playing a certain lineup and they go a couple possessions and it looks really bad, is he going to immediately just scrap it and go to somebody else? Or is he going to kind of allow some of these lineups to play out and just try to find their sea legs before kind of making a decision of, okay, can we keep going with this, or do I have to abandon it?
Yeah, and one thing too, and we kind of talked about it a little bit, and we talked about it off air too, but I think at the very least, if Purdue is going to have a shot in this game, you need between Caleb Berg and Raleigh, you need
Lucas,
those
yeah.
guys to get you a combined double double.
Gotcha.
I don't care how you get them, but between those three guys, you're going to need at least 10 points and at least 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
Just to, give TKR some help, but just also, like we've talked about, the rebounding. Those guys, and it could come from one of them, it could come from two, it could come from all three. Like I said, I don't care who gets it, but between those three, you're going to need at least 10 and 10 at the very minimum.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, between those three, I'd actually, at least for the rebound portion, I would actually ask for more. To me, that number needs to be at least 15, because Alabama on the year is averaging 12 more rebounds a game than their opponent. And for a team that shoots 30% from three, if you're getting 12, let's just say of those 12, you know, eight of them are offensive rebounds. If they're getting eight more looks at threes, from a percentage standpoint, you don't like that. You don't like that. So yeah, I think between those three, between, you know, Berg, Burgess, and First, to me, it like they got to have at least 15 rebounds combined. I genuinely feel that way. Unless obviously they could pass the eye test where they're just doing some solid box outs and other guys are coming in and getting and grabbing the rebounds. Because I do also think that it's more of a it's a team affair. It's all hands on deck in terms of rebounding. You know, everyone's got to find a guy, and then as Painter even said himself, we got to have guys who actually go and get the rebound, not get a hand on it, but go attack the ball as though, you know, to get it. So yeah, I think that yeah, they those three need to combine for at least probably 15 rebounds and then 10 points. And like you said, I really don't care how it happens. Well, I would imagine if there's one guy who's clearly doing better of the three, he's probably going to get more playing time. And then yeah, obviously, so he'll probably have the lion's share of probably the points and the boards. But hey, if they each have six rebounds, like kind of like I that's you know, that's 18 combined, and that's good. I think that bodes well for us. It's more than I believe they had four combined last game. You know, you can't have single digits between those three. It's just not going to be good enough.
Yeah, not at all. And you're also gonna, I mean, obviously when you're going up against the number two team in the country, you're gonna need everybody to show up. But you're gonna need it from guys like Miles and Cam. And we talked about how Miles kind of seemed like a different player and how like a switch maybe went off about how well he played defensively. You're gonna need that. And you talked about it a little bit, but this also seems like a huge game for Jakari and CJ as well. And specifically, trying to have a guy that you can throw at Mark Sears and then not be Braden, and kind of just give Braden a little bit of a break. And if you can throw out a guy, like us, CJ, or even a Jakari out there, but just throwing different bodies at him, I think is going to be huge for Purdue to have a shot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you talk like that, in terms of like the cross matchups, it makes me think about the Davidson game. I think back in what, like 2009, maybe 2010, when Steph was at Davidson, and I remember between I think it was Lou Jack Kramer and each one, they all picked him up 94 feet, and he shot terribly that game. And you know, Purdue beat the brakes off of Davidson that game. It was a beautiful time. So
Thank you.
you're. Yeah, you're going to need that. One thing that Painter mentioned, and I agree with it, is he was talking about, he got asked a question about Miles and how he stepped up defensively, and Painter was like, well, yeah, like the cat's out the bag now. Like he can defend. Miles is a guy who has greater ambitions than just being able to play 15 minutes, 15, 20 minutes a game. And so but Painter's challenge to him has been is the consistency. It's like we can't see you just defend this way when you have a potent score. It needs to be night in and night out, whether or not you're guarding the other team's best player or not. We need to see that type of defensive effort. And I would and that goes for really everybody who's playing at a wing or a guard spot. You're going to need a heightened sense of attention to detail defensively, because I think that's the biggest thing. You don't want to allow these Alabama guards to be going downhill. And you're spending the whole game trying to help and recover, because that's not a successful recipe.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see too. Also, can like Fletch carry the momentum that he has? Because he has just come out the gates, just shooting like Steph. Just the way that he's been able to shoot the three off the dribble, finish around the rim. Now there's some tape out on him as well. As far as being like run off the 3-point line and how he's shown, he can make some difficult shots in the mid-range. So, it's just a game where we could go down and say every single player has to play well. But one thing too that everybody is gonna have to do is just take care of the basketball. I think Alabama's probably, I think they were the best team in the country last year offensively, and they look to be right up there again this year. So you can't give them one, you can't give them extra possessions, and two, you can't give them easy layups with stupid turnovers. And we just seem to have a few. I think back to Braden getting the over and back, and just ones like that, like. You can't afford to, in a game that I think is going to come down to the wire, you can't give away possessions and give them easy layups. They're just too good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm looking at the box score at least the team stats from the game last year, and Purdue had the advantage in fouls. They had 15 versus Alabama's 24, which I'm sure a lot of people will be like, oh, it's because Edie just like gets called for everything. And he gets all the calls, lies. But we had 9 turnovers. They had 13. We had 9 steals. They had 5. We had 22 assists. They had 20. We had 37 rebounds. They had 32. It's gonna be those. I think it's gonna be those same stats that will be great indicators of how this game plays out. And I agree with you. Like, for a team that's offensively as efficient as Alabama is, the last thing you can be doing is turning the ball over. Live ball turnovers at that, which are basically the first pass and their fast break. And now you're back on your heels. And like again, just turnovers, giving them more looks, more possessions. That's just more opportunities for them to score. And while we're not necessarily concerned about our ability to score, because obviously we have shooters and we've been able to score at a pretty nice clip to this point, you just don't want to challenge. Like you don't necessarily want to get into a track meet with Alabama where they're being aided by you guys turning, by Purdue turning the ball over 15 plus times. Like that's just not going to work. Like if Purdue has 15 or more turnovers, I really think that's, yeah, again, that's going to be another, okay, like you said, a game that's coming down to the wire. They have 15 plus turnovers. That could be something we're talking about on the backside of like, okay, well, the reason why the game was closer than it needed to be, or Purdue lost, is because we had some turnovers, and you have to eliminate the stupid turnovers. You have to eliminate the live ball turnovers. You just have to be smart with the ball. You have to be smart with the ball.
Yeah, and I think the start of this game is going to be really interesting too. One, just because, like you said, Mackey's going to be, just a madhouse, and just getting off to like a good start and keeping that crowd energized. And not only that, but it feels like Purdue kind of comes in as almost like in like with a big underdog mentality, which we haven't really seen in a while. And at least from kind of what I've seen, a lot of people, are assuming that Alabama's kind of going to have their way offensively. And, just getting off to that start can kind of just like, all right, we got this. We can play with this team. And then, like I said, it just keeps the crowd in there too. So I think the start of this game is going to be super important for Purdue.
Yeah, if they can get a start like they did against Illinois last year, the Illinois game at Mackey, if they get a start like that, you can get out in front, get a big lead early, or just kind of jump on them and then be able to and then at that point it's just kind of like, hey, just got to hold water from there. But yeah, I think that they have to understand how big of an advantage the crowd can be. And so yeah, if you can come out and you can knock down those first couple shots, be able to get a couple stops, get a lead early. And especially if you get a lead and to lead to a point where they got to call a timeout early, or like you get in that first 16, the under 16, you have a lead that's gonna be good. Like the crowd in this instance is obviously to your favor, and you want to give them every reason to continue to be loud and continue to be screaming their heads off. I mean, if you're going to that game, if I was going to the game, my thought would be, I want to leave that game with no voice. Because like I, that's that's how much I've been screaming my head off, and then at that point I obviously we can just get to the bottles, but yeah, man, it's just yeah, just I think yeah, I agree with you. I think that getting off to a good start tomorrow is extremely important. It's extremely important because you don't want to be playing behind. Because again, even if you're playing behind, you still have the support of the crowd because they're just waiting for you to you can. The avalanche can kind of switch. Like, it can happen quick, even if you're behind. You knock down a couple shots, you get a couple stops, and all of a sudden, it becomes like an avalanche. You hear the crowd start to get into it, the players start to get into it. But we would rather just avoid that and rather just have the lead. And like, I don't know, Purdue, if you want to lead from wire to wire, like I'm okay with that personally. I'm okay with that. I don't know about you, Ben, but like I'm okay with that.
Sign me up. Sign me up. One other thing that I did just want to kind of highlight is give a shout out to both Matt Painter and Nate Oates at Alabama. Just looking at these two team schedules, I would argue they're probably two of the tougher non-conference schedules in the country. Like it's just kind of wild to think about all the different teams that both Purdue and Alabama are playing. And so, we kind of talked about it that like that's what you want from these, late November, early December games, is you want to get tested and you want to go up against the best. And, it's okay if you lose a couple games, it's not going to kill you. You don't obviously want to lose them all, but I think Matt Paint, Paint talked about how in their games that they normally schedule quote unquote six like tough games just between like the Gavitt games, between what was the Big Ten ACC Challenge and then like the holiday
Yeah,
tournaments.
whatever holiday
And he
tournament
said,
and the indie game.
yeah, and he said if you can go 3-3 in those games, then you're happy. And, obviously we've had much more success lately than just 3-3, but just kind of want to throw that out there that like even if Alabama wins tomorrow, like it's not the end of the world. Like let's try not to overreact to everything. And you can still learn a lot from a loss about your team. And that's why you play these games early in the non-conference. And credit to both these guys and their programs and their willingness to go out and play these tough teams.
Yeah, no, that's a great call out because yeah, that's true. I mean, looking at Alabama's non-conference schedule and like what they got North Carolina on there, they have Creighton on there, they had Houston. I think after Purdue, they play Illinois, then they also play Rutgers. So they're definitely going to be tested by the time they come out of that non-conference, and obviously the same with us as well. And Painter was talking about how like when you have those type of matchups, you're not as penalized even if you lose as you might think. And he said, the downside is like when you have other teams out there who will play all these, lower net schools, is that then when you get come around to late February, early March, and they're talking about your strength of schedule, that can actually be a negative against you. And I think we've even seen it even within the Big Ten with I believe it's what Michigan State. Michigan State a lot of times will have a tough non-conference schedule where they might come out, that like you said, they might lose two, three games, but they've learned a lot about themselves in that time. And so now from when the non-con starts to when the non-con ends and the conference season begins, they're able to really be working on the things that were already exposed during the non-conference season. So now you've kind of taken your lumps. You now know, okay, look, we need to work on these things to not just become a better team within our conference, but just become a better team on a national scale. And so then, like you said, like if Purdue is to lose tomorrow, it's not the end of the world. The sky is not falling because you much like I think even if they had lost to even if they'd lost to Yale, I don't think that would be a I don't think the teams that we've played to this point, I don't think that they're going to age poorly. Like win or loss, I don't think they're going to age poorly. And that's good. We want to be able to figure out what this team is, especially because as we talked about, so many times, this team has guys who are playing in elevated roles or people or just new roles in general. And obviously you have a bunch of new faces in, people who are being asked to contribute from day one. And so, yeah, there's going to be some lumps, and there's to me, there's no better way to find them to address those than against some of the best competition you can find. And literally, you have the second best test you can find, and with Alabama in this case,
Yeah. So again, this is gonna be a really fun game. You're gonna learn a lot about both teams. And I, for one, can't wait to see how it plays out. 7 p.m. Eastern time, tomorrow, Friday night, Mackey Arena. It's gonna be on Peacock, so just get all your frustrations out about that now and get ready. But Robbie will be back on the call. He'll be back at Mackey. So it'll just be an awesome environment, an awesome college basketball game. And can't wait to see kind of what we have to talk about on the next one to see kind of how the Boilermakers look.
I
So
think
let's switch gears.
well,
Oh, I'm
real quick,
sorry.
I think that like I think Purdue basketball tweeted out a link for Peacock. It might just be for students, but like we can get Peacock for $1.99 for the next year. So if you're listening, and you don't have Peacock, I would advise going to find, I think it's either GBI or Golden Black Twitter, or might be Purdue basketball's Twitter. And
I think it was
one of them
Boiler
retweeted
Report.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you find that, that's, we love cost savings out here. So, that's a good way to try to get some access to Peacock. But yeah, just wanted to make sure I threw that out there.
Yeah, good call out. But yeah, can't wait to see what happens. And of course, we'll be back to break it all down. But real quickly, switching gears, just wanted to highlight a couple other teams and a couple bounce back wins. Well, one bounce back win specifically for the women's team. We talked a little bit about the tough matchup that they had over the weekend against Notre Dame. And it was kind of what we expected. I don't think we were too shocked by the outcome. But again, it was one of those things where you can learn a lot about your program. And kind of the areas that you need to improve on. And then you can also learn how your team is going to respond. And I think the Lady Boilers responded in a big way. They got an 83-64 win against IU Indy tonight on Thursday at Mackey. Always good to kind of stack up those wins. But like I said, it's just nice to kind of see how they respond and took care of business and handled it accordingly there.
Yeah, man. Going up against Notre Dame, number six in the country, that was always going to be a challenge. And they kind of got Notre Dame, as we were talking about, like with the men's on the men's side, Notre Dame jumped on them early, and they jumped on them early. And then obviously the ladies weren't they weren't able to get back, but nice to see them come back and get a rather dominant win against IU Indy. And then also too, I want to give a quick shout out to Katie Gerrells because she has a nice little class that's coming in. I believe she has a there's one girl is like 6'6" and another girl is 6'4". So, obviously assuming that this season continues to it's that improve they continue to improve this season and hopefully make the tourney, then you're going to have some new blood coming in next year who will only add and bolster the roster. So yeah, good things ahead now for the women's team. And like you said, it's just good for them to get a bounce back game like that, to be able to wipe out the taste of that Notre Dame game.
Yeah, so they're now 2-1, and they look to get their third win of the year when they play their fourth straight home game Monday evening, a 7 p.m. tip-off against Bellarmine, and you can catch that on Big Plus. And also just wanted to highlight the volleyball team who kind of quietly, has now won five straight after they handled business against, for lack of a better term, one of the worst teams in the country, and Rutgers, who were 5-21 on the year, 0-15 in Big Ten play. But the ladies did exactly what you needed to do. They didn't leave any doubt, and they swept Rutgers, and it wasn't close in any of them, which is exactly what you want to see.
Precisely. Yeah, just like the last few games they've had, where you've known that Purdue's the better team, you wanted them to come out and show that they're the better team. And tonight, you made really quick and efficient work of Rutgers, 25-14 in the first two sets, and then 25-16, just quick and easy. So we love that for them.
Yeah, so they are on a five-game winning streak. And again, a quick shout out to Raven Colvin, who got her 600th career block in the match there. So shout out to her. But they will now, the number eight ranked Boilermakers will be back in action on Sunday against Illinois, who is also on a little bit of a winning streak as well. They've won four of their last five, including a win against number 20 ranked USC last week. So it'll be a very good matchup there. And of course, real quickly, just want to give a shout out. I know this has not been the year that the football team has wanted, but there will be 21 seniors who will be playing their last game at Ross-H Stadium when the Boilermakers take on Penn State this weekend. And unfortunately, don't have time to kind of go through all of those, but just want to make sure that we gave those guys a quick shout out for everything that they've done for the program there. And I don't think we have much hopes in regards to this game. Don't really want to spend a lot of time on it, but just make sure we give a shout out to those guys.
I hope they score.
Just score, please. Just one touchdown.
Score
One
and then make a
touchdown.
yo, and then make a field goal one time for the vibes. That would be legit. Also, it's 3:30 game, so yeah, that'll at least you have that. You have a little bit more time to tailgate and maybe get a few more beverages in your system.
Yeah, which you'll probably need. But good luck to the football team as they take on the number four ranked Penn State Nittany Lions on Saturday. Like Sim said, 3:30 on CBS. That'll wrap everything up here. Want to thank everybody for listening. Can't wait to see the game tomorrow and break it all down for you. But thank you, everybody, and boiler up.
Yes, sir.